Bailiff Fleck and all the Flecktones are here today. Saxophonist Jeff Coffin, bassist Victor Wooten, and his brother Royale, or Future Man, on percussion, and of course Bela on the banjo. The band recently took a break, and it's just returned with The Hidden Land. It's a new single-disc album that follows up their triple-disc guest-filled extravaganza, Little Worlds. While it was easy to see where that title, Little Worlds, came from, I started our conversation off by asking Bela what the title Hidden Lands meant.
If we told you that, we'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
Kind of sprawling, anti-sprawling.
It's anti-sprawl.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a no, no.
In other words, we don't know.
I love answers like that.
No, well, we'd actually talked about the record before this one as being just the four of us, and then it ended up like somebody else came to town. I don't know if it was the Chieftains or who it was.
Yeah.
Little Worlds.
Yeah, on Little Worlds, right.
Yeah.
And Bela said, well, you know, what if we got these guys on this tune? And it just kind of kept rolling from there, and we were all cool with it. You know, it just seemed like great ideas to us.
Yeah, pretty soon there was 20 people on that record.
Yeah.
It was a triple record, mm-hmm. So things can get out of control, and it's a good thing.
I think there's some really great work on there. I really do. Sure. I think that you know, Bela did just an amazing job getting that thing together, and it's, you know, it's sonically, there's a lot of different things going on there, but, you know, like you were saying, I think that one of the things we love doing is playing with the four of us. There's a real rapport and a camaraderie that exists there. And it's really fun, and it's, you know, and being on stage is kind of funny sometimes, actually.
I mean, maybe we're the hidden land. I mean, when you strip out all the stuff that was on top of the last few records, the last three records were just covered with guests, which was great, very community-oriented. But when you pull out all the guests, it's us, and we're underneath, you know, making the music. I thought maybe that was part of it, too. There's a lot of different reasons why I thought Hidden Land was a great title.
Yeah, I think it's a great metaphor for, you know, what's inside of a person. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole metaphor in all religions and stuff. You know, when it comes down to the end of it, the secret is really hidden inside of you, you know, the last place you'd look, you know. So it's kind of like that. I think on the picture, we're coming out of a cave. And
right.
Sometimes taking time off, you get a chance to just, you know, rejuvenate from the inside out kind of thing.
And then also there's like the whole side of the music world in the United States today, or even in the world, where a lot of the coolest stuff is hidden. And if you're checking stuff out from a distance, like you come from the planet Uranus, for instance, to Earth, and you want to check out what's happening, and you stop laughing at me, Jeff.
Yeah.
And you turn on the television and you turn on the radio and you try to find out what's going on. Well, all the best stuff you don't hear on us in those places. So I first got the idea from a book called Hidden Music by Rumi. And I told the guys about it. And I don't know who came up with the idea of Hidden Land, but first it was Hidden Music.
Mm.
And it really seemed to be, once we got the title, it seemed to make sense in a whole bunch of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's jump off there to talk about some of the tunes we're going to hear today in our set. And maybe going from Rumi to Chennai, maybe a bit of a jump, but this kind of has an Eastern flavor to it. And how did this one come about?
It's good. This is a tune that Jeff has been playing for a while. And he started to show it to us a number of years ago. Actually, it was the first part of it, and we played around with it a little bit. It took a little while for us to all realize what a cool tune it was. And so sometimes a tune will come around, someone will bring it, and everybody will kind of, you know, check it out. It's okay, but nothing quite ignites. And then we're looking for tunes a year later, and that same tune might come back around, and somehow it'll make sense then to everybody. Maybe it gestated in everybody's head or whatever, but that's happened with different ones of our tunes. And that was one. And then we wrote some more parts to it.
Right.
So. But I don't know, Jeff, why the Indian flavor? I mean, it really does have Indian flavor.
Yeah, it's based off of a particular rag, actually. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to write a tune that kind of had the way that I compose a little bit also, but also using other sensibilities within there. You know, I mean, I think that one of the things that we all do is we write with the influences that you know, we're checking out and that we're involved with, and that's some of the music that I listen to also.
Well, let's listen to this. This is live on stage at World Cafe Live. Our guest today, Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, and Chennai. Tonight, live on stage with our guest today, Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. You talk about going various places, and one of the stories, Bela, if you could kind of fill us in on, I know you went to Africa. You kind of set up your own kind of tour to explore the roots of the banjo, but you played some, and I understand Bach went over really well in Africa.
Yeah, that was interesting, because I was in these little towns in Uganda, and I would end up, they'd bring all these people together, and there'd be a great musician I was trying to find, and we'd find him, and we'd end up sitting in the, on the ground or on some little stools, and he'd play something for me, and then I was supposed to play something for them, and like the whole town would be there. And I, originally I thought that Earl Scruggs would just blow them away, so I would play some, you know, some bluegrass thing, and they've just sort of scratched their heads, and so it, you know, and or give a muted reaction. And so we had a sound guy who the documentary sound man, said, "Hey, man, why don't you try playing some of that Bach?" And so one day I did that, and the house went down. I couldn't believe it. I was so surprised.
Hmm. Did you talk to anybody about it?
No. I mean, well, we all talked about it afterwards. I mean, I had a crew of about 6 people traveling with me everywhere, film crew and recording engineers, and we were all just could never figure out why that worked that way.
And was that something you'd already recorded with the on the classical album or the
yeah it was at, it was just you... some Bach stuff that I play solo that I've been, you know, that's the kind of stuff that for me I have to keep it up. I only have a couple of tunes that I can pull out Bach partita type things because it takes a lot of work just to keep them under your fingers as good as I want to do them, you know. So I had one or two of them that I could play, but that trip was awesome. I actually, Jeff started playing a lot of African music for me when we were on tour, especially Umu Sangare, who I became a big fan of.
Great singer. Yeah.
And that was really why I went to Africa, was to try to find her and work with her, which I was able to do, and spent a lot of time with her. And she put us up and sort of opened the doors to all of the great musicians in Bamako, in Mali, and had some great sessions. So, but I just went, I went to a lot of different places and played with some amazing people. And the Banjo Roots thing was part of it. We went to Gambia and found one of the places where the jumping off points where the slaves left from. And there are people there playing almost a literal clawhammer banjo style on an instrument called the akanting, which is 3 strings, but with a short top string, like on a banjo. And it was, you could watch their right hands, and it was just like the old timers here that play clawhammer. It was pretty amazing.
Wow. Now, it would only be fair that we find out what everybody else has been up to. Future Man, you'll have to forgive me if I'm way behind the times, but can you talk a little bit about the Royale, the other instrument you've created?
Is that
a recent thing or?
It's something that's really been evolving. The drumitar itself is an evolving experiment of using the fingers, you know, like drumsticks. And so when you get many fingers, like as I'm playing the drumitar with the flectones, I've been able to flesh out a hand drumming approach to the drums. But as I go along, I want more of the notes. You know, no more choices. And so the Royale is a keyboard kind of instrument that's an expansion from the drumitar. And so as I get more voices, that allows me more harmonic choices, which essentially is a new kind of piano. Hmm. And it's from that piano I've been able to really compose and think really laterally, just think totally different about melody and harmony and stuff. So while we were off, I was able to complete this double string quartet. All came from the Royale, and this is my second one actually, but as I'm going on, I'm improving on it, and so I've been able to flesh out a double string quartet, have it all scored out and written for string players, tested to see that can it be played in the real world, and it's come along really good. And so I'm calling it the Black Mozart, dedicated to a mulatto composer during the time of Mozart named St. George's. And if people want to know more about him, they can find out about him on Le Mozart Noir. .com.
Mozart,
Mozart. And there's just this whole beautiful world going on. And real quick, I'd like to make a segue. I think it's very interesting, you know, about this tradition because with Bach, because I had a composer tell me about going on an excursion way out in deep, it was in South Africa, deep into the Zulu. And he said when they got there, it was like crossing gang turf. And he said that while they were negotiating, while they were there, he said from the bush, he heard all of this melody and counterpart harmony that sounded to him like Bach. Now, this is a conductor. So he told me the record of Bach to get what it sounded like. But he said where Bach was 5-part harmony, this was 10-part coming all from the bush. So he started singing with them. And they all turned around like, how did he know the song? So it seems as though we talked about that this may have been some type of tradition, you know, that that Bach and people back at that time were tuned into. And it's interesting, we talked about the hidden land that, you know, now I think with our information age, we're able to kind of bridge these things. So it's fascinating that Baylor went there and, you know, they were really tuned into Bach. It seems that there's some kind of connection.
Prelude from our guest Bela Fleck and the Flecktones playing live today, and we're finding out a bit more about what happened in their year off. And let's go around the room, Victor. Victor, what have you been up to? I know you've been up to a lot.
Yeah, it was a good year off. Got a chance to spend time with my family. I think I started a year off by having another child in January.
Time.
Yeah, we had a little boy, Cameron, and which makes four for me. So I got to be home for that. Spent some time there, but I also toured with my own band for most of the year, and that was a good opportunity to focus on that band. I had a record out called the Soul Circus, and we just did the Soul Circus tour quite a bit that year. Good year.
And Jeff, you've been out with your band, and what else have you been up to?
Yeah, I toured some with the Mutet, and had a record come out a year ago, February, called Bloom, and did some stuff with the drummer Mike Clark and Vinnie Colaiuta and a bunch of folks, and did a lot of teaching also. I do a lot of clinics and things, working with kids in schools, and been doing a lot of that.
I've gotten a chance to see Jeff teach people to improvise, because we're doing some work at Cumberland University, and it is really fascinating to see people grasp this American art form of improvisation for the first time. It's really exciting.
And I think everybody can improvise. You know, it's like everybody can sing, and everybody has a whole unique voice, and it's really an amazing thing to encourage people to do that, because I don't really think you really have to know anything to begin improvising, and but you can learn it along the way, and getting them playing quickly is a really big part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of improvising, some of the best at doing it together are here, and we'll head on stage to World Cafe Live with our guests Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Thanks a lot for talking with us, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is Weed Whacker, a great song from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones' latest album, The Hidden Land. That performance live on stage at World Cafe Live. And our thanks to Bela and all the Flecktones for joining us live today. If you're looking for that new album, The Hidden Land, it's available at our World Cafe CD store. It's on our website at worldcafe.npr.org.